Well, Father, we just thank you again for your love for us. We thank you for your provision for us. We love you. You're so good, so merciful, so kind. We thank you, Lord God, and just pray that your Holy Spirit would open our eyes and understanding, and that we would grasp hold of the word of truth that you have for us tonight, that you would draw out by your Spirit what's needed to be said and bring out what's needed to be seen. And we pray that you would be glorified, that Jesus be exalted, that we would be drawn unto him. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been talking about that he is willing. What did we talk about? That he's a rewarder. And we're in the middle of talking about that he's willing. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Amen? Are you doing it? We're not neutral, right? We're diligently. We're setting our heart. We're pursuing him with everything we got. Amen? We're diligently seeking him because we love him, not just because he's a rewarder. Amen? But we talked about redemptive realities. We're looking at the willingness of God. Is he willing? Is he able? Those are the two questions that need to be answered. And the majority of the church world absolutely agrees that he is able. He's well able. Amen. That he can, and he's got all the power behind him to heal you if he wants to. They just don't know. They're not convinced that he wants to. And even some of us that believe it, sometimes we get caught up into religious things, religious thinking, and we get over into a works mentality and try to figure out, do we deserve it? Well, we're not going to go there, because if we got what we deserved, we'd be headed to hell in a handbasket. But we're not. Amen? We're getting what he paid for us. He's provided for us. So we looked at the redemptive realities. We saw that in Isaiah 53, Matthew 8, 17, Psalm 103, and 1 Peter 2, 24. And then we began to look at the words of Jesus and some of his responses to healing. I am willing. Be thou cleansed. I mean, he was always, always there. Amen. He never, ever said, nope, not today, buddy. Not in the mood. I don't care. He always, always, always was willing, and you can see it by his words. So then we looked at his actions, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And we looked at a few situations there. And the last thing we looked at was in Numbers 21. It was one of the types, and it was the brazen serpent. And we looked at that as a type of Christ. And we saw that he was hung on the tree. Let me see if I got the scripture. I want to give it to you. John 3:14, because I don't think I gave that to you last time. John 3:14 and 15. It says, if the Son be lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent, the Son be lifted up, and whoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. Thank God. So he was a type. In the serpent, he was a type. And boy, my brain took a long time to wrap around that one, because I thought that Satan is a type of the serpent. How could Jesus be a type? But the Word of God tells us that he became sin for us. He took on our sin completely. And I think it's 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us. Man, that's pretty heavy duty. Amen. He didn't just take our place. He took on all the sin of the world at one time. So we see through that type. But now we're going to look at one more type, and then we're going to go on to something else. And the second type that we're looking at is in Exodus chapter 12, and it's the Passover lamb. Okay, this is next. Exodus 12, sorry. And it gives a whole lot of instruction, so I'm going to skip through some of it. But in Exodus 12, the Israelites are getting ready to head out of Egypt. And they're getting their instructions on this Passover meal and what they're supposed to do. And they're supposed to have a lamb that is without blemish, a male of the first year. So it's supposed to be a mature male lamb without any spot, without any blemish, representing Jesus Christ. Verse 7 says, "And they shall take some of the blood and put it on two doorposts in the lintel of the houses where they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh on the night roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it." Well, what does that represent? I'm just looking at that right there. But communion, right? It was a type. It was a foreshadow of things to come. The body of the sinless lamb was slain. The blood covered over, the death angel passed over everyone whose house was covered with the blood. Amen. And then they shall eat the flesh in the night, roasted in fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Verse 11, let's jump down there. "And thus you shall eat it with your belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we're told that Christ is our Passover. So this is a confirmation of the type. If you see it in the New Testament, it confirms the old. It's the type. "You shall eat it in haste." Well, what is that? I mean, they went through all these plagues, right? 10 different plagues, every single one of them. You know, and nothing, Pharaoh wouldn't let them go through, and yet they're to do this one in haste. And they're to do it how? But dressed, with their staff in their hand, with their shoes on their feet, ready to go. Amen. They never ate their meals with their shoes on their feet.
This is the first fast food.
This is the first fast food, yeah. Get ready to run. That's cute. So they were to have an expectation, an anticipation that as they partook of this, then they would go, they would leave. Amen. It was so, how are you when you take communion? Do you have an expectation? Amen. What are we partaking of? It's the same thing. The blood that they put over the lentils. We're partaking of the blood. It brought us from death to life. The Egyptians, they all died out their firstborn, right? But if they applied the blood, how do you apply the blood? Believing on the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Believing on him. We apply it by faith. We're covered over in the blood. Therefore, that death angel passes over. Amen? We can't be touched. Aren't you glad? That's good news. Amen. So we come to a place where they partake of it, and they partake of it in faith. It's not just in haste. It's in faith. They have an expectation there. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on the night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where they are. And when I see the blood, I pass over, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Amen. Should we expect what's going on in the world around us today? We should have a different expectation, right? Because he's paid the price in full for us, so that we see plagues. How many? 1,000 near your dwelling? How many? They're going to fall, but it will not come near your dwelling. Thousands can fall, and yet it's not supposed to touch us. Just like this in the Old Testament. It was a type, an example, that the whole land, all of Egypt, they were going to be touched by this because they did not have their faith in God. They didn't put their confidence in Him. Amen. And therefore, the ones that did, the ones that applied the blood, the ones that ate in haste, that had an expectation that what God says was true, they saw it come to pass. Well, we should have that same expectation today. Amen. There's plagues going all over the place. And if we settle into the world standards, you see what? Theraflu's on TV. You know, I can't think of all the things, but there's ads for absolutely every drug on the earth telling you, you need to have this in your house, you need to get ready for sickness and disease, you need to partake of this stuff, right? There's an expectation that's bred into us to be sick. It's allergy season, it's flu season, it's cold season. You're over 40, you're over 50, you're over 60. Am I telling you the truth or not? There's things that are coming at us from every angle, but should we really be expecting it? And are we expecting it? Sometimes, you know, you get up and you're a little stiff and I guess I'm getting older. What do we do with that? That's accepting it. I guess I'm getting older. No. You know what I tell myself when I'm not walking right, when I'm not feeling right, when I'm a little stiff? No, healed people don't walk like this. And I challenge myself a little bit to do it differently. Amen. I'm working at it. When I catch myself, I change it up. Amen. Otherwise, my expectation just goes the way that my body is leaning towards. Well, my body needs to align with the Word of God, not with the symptoms or the world standards. Amen? So that's, again, the good fight of faith. Well, what do we know what to fight for? What's been provided for us? Amen. That blood and that body that was broken, it was broken with purpose. It was paid for completely for us to walk in the fullness of health and strength. So if we don't have it, we need to fight for it. Amen. We just need to dig our feet in. And no. It's not this way. God has provided greater things for me, and I'm going to partake of it. Amen. We have to make a decision what we're going to have and what we're not going to have. Otherwise, you just turn on the TV and you get those things rolling through your head. It's flu season. Better get ready for it. Better buy some extra Kleenex. Better, right? Right? There's just a natural thing without even thinking about it. It just kind of settles in on you if you're not careful. Amen. So, we need to be. Verse 15, it says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses, and whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until, he's going through all this stuff, but what does leaven represent? Sin. Amen. So if there's obvious sin there, we need to remove it. We need to let go of some things and get beyond some of that stuff. I'm going to jump all the way down to verse 21, where Moses is giving some instructions here. Pick out and take lambs for yourselves and according to your families, and kill the Passover lamb, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lentils and the two doorposts with the blood that it is in the basin. The hyssop was kind of like a paintbrush. It would soak in the blood. It was like a sponge type thing. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning, for the Lord will pass through and strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your house to strike you. Is he the destroyer? Is God the destroyer? No. No. You can read that and be confused. The Lord will pass through and strike the Egyptians. He will allow it. He will permit it. But the destroyer is the enemy. And the destroyer was going to strike them. Let's jump on down to verse 30. Pharaoh rose in the night, all of his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, and there was not a house where there was not one dead. Can you imagine how horrific the grief would be in that nation? And what's the thief out to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. So we need to keep our guard up and just stand our ground. Then he called Moses and Aaron by night, and they said, "Rise up and go up from among the people, both you and your children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as you have said." Let's jump again down to verse 35. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptian articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Hallelujah. They were their taskmasters for years and years. They were ruling over them. They put them in bondage. They kept them in bondage for hundreds of years. And now God says, go ask them. And they didn't just give them a little. It says they plundered. One version it says they stripped Egypt of their wealth. They went out with silver and gold. Let me read what Psalm, I think it's 105. And verse 37, talking about this incident. Verse 36, he also destroyed the firstborn in their land and the firstborn of all their strength. He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble among their tribes. Now, this is a type, this is an example of what was to partake of the blood and the body, partake of what we partake of today is communion, the bread and the juice. It represents, it does not become, it's not transubstantiation, it does not become the body of Christ, it does not become the blood of Christ, it represents it. So when we partake of that, he says, do this in remembrance of me. Amen. So we're remembering the price he paid and everything he did on our behalf that we should benefit from it. Amen. We're not to forget our benefits. We're to keep them before us. It belongs to us. Amen. So, but not one feeble among them. We're talking about millions of people that were in that desert that had come out of Egypt. And they're in the desert, and when they came out, there was not one feeble. They had been beaten for years. They had been malnourished. They were slaves. They weren't pampered. Amen. There were old people among them, right? So if you're talking about millions of people, and Moses fled for what reason? He saw somebody being beaten, and he got so enraged that he beat the taskmaster himself. He beat him to death, and then he fled because they were talking about it. So if it was to that extent that happened on a regular basis, do you think there might be some crippled up, damaged people out of millions of people that have been in slavery for years, hundreds of years? Probably, right? And probably old people that had the potential to be crippled up or arthritic or something if they'd been malnourished and beaten over the years. But this verse says there wasn't one. I would say something miraculous happened when they partook of that Passover supper. Amen? Well, that's a type of what was to come. That was a foreshadow of what was to come. When the Lamb of God came and gave his life and shed his blood. And when we partake of that by faith, then we're to be like those that came out of Egypt. They didn't come out just dragging by. They came out, they weren't feeble in any way. But they were, they'd been strengthened, they'd been healed, they were whole. Amen? And not only that, but they had silver and gold. Amen. That's part of our inheritance, part of our, he delights in giving us the desires of our heart. When Solomon was asked, what do you want? He didn't ask for riches. He asked for wisdom. But what did God show forth? He wanted him blessed. He was rich, rich, rich. Amen. We're looking at the willingness of God. Is God willing to heal you? Is God willing to prosper you? Is God willing to bring you up in position? We might have our mindset that this is how God's going to do it. It might not be that way. Yeah, we got to keep ourselves open because he's got bigger ways and plans that he can just bring things around when we're not looking from some source we had no idea was out there. Amen. But when we start, we can close ourselves in and get focused on just what we have here, and it closes all that off. God's a big God. God has many sources and avenues. Amen. So we need to, I believe, enhance our believing of how great our God is and really get the fact that he is so willing that you be 100% whole, healthy, strong, prosperous, that he gave his all for you and for me. He gave it all. He withheld nothing so that we could walk in it. Why am I hitting on this so hard? Because if we don't understand it's the will of God to heal us, if we're wavering back and forth, well, I just don't know if he wants me well, guess what you're going to get? Big fat zero. Expect that man that he received nothing of the Lord. We need to absolutely know without a shadow of a doubt. Well, that's what the thought life is, where the enemy targets. He'll throw a thought in there. You'll be tired someday, and you'll just feel like, oh, I just want to just lay here and melt. I don't want to get up. I don't want to do anything. And those are the times when the gears start turning, and the enemy just starts showing all sorts of pictures to you. And he'd love to get you to grab hold of one of them and look at that and think, this is the way it's going to be. I'm just not going to get any better. I'm just going to go from bad to worse. I saw Aunt Susie and she did this and that. No, you got to, whatever it is, I don't care what Uncle Joe did. I don't care what Mom and Daddy did. We're redeemed from hereditary curses. Amen. We are free from the curse of the law. And hereditary curses is part of it. So it doesn't even matter what your heritage is. The doctor may ask you, and they might have all the history of your family and that. That's fine. But fact of the matter is, you don't have to submit to that. You're in a new bloodline. Amen. We're joint heirs with Jesus. We have a heavenly Father. Amen. So we're in a completely different bloodline. Amen. And we're free from hereditary curses. It's spelled out in Deuteronomy 28. Galatians 3:13 tells us we're free from the curse of the law. So we don't have to submit and succumb to all those things. What you have to do is, if there's Yeah, absolutely break it. If you see yourself, you see something lining up with the where it's tracking your family history, then you just put your feet down and just say, not this temple. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want to live in a defiled, broke-down temple. Amen. This is a good one, and he's going to stay here. And I'm determined. I'm determined. Well, what if it takes a while? Then it takes a while. Amen. Amen. We don't want it to take a while. Sometimes we we get caught up. Sometimes we're just going along and just grabbing hold of truth in life and exercising our faith, and things are going great. And then sometimes there's things that hit us, and it slows us back. Well, who has control over that? It would be us, right? And we're the only one. I can't control Pastor Gary's thoughts and beliefs and actions. He can't control mine. I have to take full 100% responsibility for whether I'm going to walk this thing out in faith or not. I have the knowledge that God has given me. I have the Word of God. I've had experience in many, many, many times where I've been healed by God. But it's still, if there's something I'm dealing with today, I am dealing with that today with everything I've been through right today. Sometimes you get hit with stuff and it just bounces off. Sometimes if you're in a weakened position and it hits you, you reel with it and you got to just dust yourself off and just say, not here, not now. No way, no how. Amen. And it's and not beat yourself up or start questioning or tearing your faith apart because you haven't hit automatic. Amen. Because sometimes it's just like that. You just get answers like that. And I love it. But then when you're hitting a hard time, whatever you're going through in life that has slowed you down, you can't give in and start toying with the idea, well, I guess I never, I guess I shouldn't, I guess I did this, I guess I did that. No, if the Holy Ghost reveals something to you, then you repent and get it right. And if not, you just stand your ground and be determined, I'm going to have everything my God has spent for me. His blood paid for it all. Therefore, it belongs to us. And we either partake of it or we don't. Amen. Just like everything else in life. Just like, just character things. Love. How many 100% always walk in love? Every day. How about patience? 100% of the time. You're always, always patient. Boy, we're going to give you angel wings here. That's awesome. You know, there's everything. What about, you know, you look at some people and we just, what am I trying to say here? We just have to determine, just like everything else in life, to make a choice, I'm going to be patient in this situation. Well, we have patience. It's been given to us. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's on the inside of us. Sometimes I don't choose to be patient. I just go with the flow. And if I'm choosing not to be patient, that's not a good flow. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? But to make a choice, when I feel pressured, because that's usually what makes you impatient. There's time pressure. There's something coming against you where you're feeling the pressure and you respond impatiently. Whose choice is it? comes right back to us. Whose choice is it to be healed? Whose choice is it to walk in love? Whose choice is it to be kind? Everything, whether it's, you know, we look at all these other things and we can dismiss them because, you know, you didn't get enough sleep, you were overtired, overhungry, you know, there's a reason why we just dismiss it. Well, bottom line is, with healing, with prosperity, with everything that God's given to us, we can make a choice one way or another. Are we going to partake of it? Are we going to have it? Amen. Do you hear what I'm saying? Am I muddying this up, or are you getting what I'm saying? What's that? You're the only one that can hinder God. Yeah. Because it's been paid for in full. Amen. Amen. So anyways, that just about wraps up what I wanted to talk about for God being willing. Well, there's one more thing here. The willingness of God also showed up in one other area, and that is that he sent others out. He commissioned them to go out. It wasn't just Jesus is here and Jesus can do it, and that's the end of the story. Because there's a lot of people that say, well, if Jesus was here, I know he would want me well. But Jesus isn't here. Well, what did he do? First, he sent out 12, right? He sent out his disciples. Well, that's the disciples. I get it. That's the disciples. Let's look at, what do I want to look at? Luke 9. What's that? Yeah, I'll look at that in a minute. Luke 9. And verse 1 and 2, and he called out his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So he wanted them to partake and to demonstrate what the kingdom of God was all about. Amen. Verse 6, it says, So they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. This is the 12. It's not just Jesus. It's the 12. How could they go out? He hadn't died yet. Because he never lost his authority. He never sinned. Man was given authority when he came upon earth. Amen. Sin, he submitted to Satan. That's when he lost his authority. Part of our redemption is giving us back authority we have in the name of Jesus. Jesus never lost his authority. That way he could delegate his authority to the 12 that were here on the earth. And then let's look at chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, the laborers are few, therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So now we've got 12 that went out. It wasn't just Jesus. And it wasn't just the disciples. So it's spreading out further than that, right? It's the 70 that went out. Followers of Jesus that believed in him. He delegated his authority, gave them authority to go out, to cast out demons, to drive sickness and disease far from them. Amen? And he gave them authority to go out and do it. Well, and then he tells them, he's telling the 70, now you go pray that God would send more laborers out into the harvest, because there's a plenty of harvest, there's not enough workers. So now he wants this broadened even greater. He's telling them, you pray for the laborers. Amen? So is he willing?
Yes.
He wants this to go forth. He wants it to perpetuate. Amen? So, yeah. So then, well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 20. Well, hang on. I'm going to go back to Luke 10 because I didn't read the end results. And I like the end results of that. Sorry. So Luke 10 and 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. This is the 70, not just the 12, but the 70. And he said to them, this is what Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're not supposed to, oh, wow, look at that. Amen. The biggest miracle is that we're going to heaven. Amen. That we're washed from our sins, that we're free from that bondage, that we've gone from darkness into life, that we've gone from death into life. We have eternal life. Amen. So that's the greatest miracle. And we're not supposed to be shocked then. We're supposed to have, if we're not supposed to be shocked when this happened, there should just be an expectation this is normal. Amen. That if there's a demon in the way, you deal with it. If there's sickness in the way, you deal with it. Because you have my name. Amen. You have authority. That's the position that we've been put in. Okay, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Amen. So now we're ambassadors, all of us, every born-again believer is an ambassador. We represent him. We're sent out on his behalf. We're funded by him. Amen. He's given us authority to do so, and we're to represent him. He's been given the ministry of reconciliation. But not only that, in Luke chapter 24, and verse 49, it tells us this. This is Jesus just before the ascension. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. That's a promise. Amen? Huh? No, no. We don't have to go to Jerusalem. They did, because that's where he told them to wait. But we just... He told them that the whole purpose of it was to be endued with power. We call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you're baptized, you're dipped into the water. It comes from the dye industry. You're dipped, you dip a piece of cloth in purple dye, white piece of cloth. When you pull it out, it contains the property of the dye. It absorbs that purple dye. It becomes purple. When you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you're endued with power from on high. You are filled flooded with the presence of God, with the power of God. I think one of the grave mistakes that was made is when we began to look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit as speaking in tongues. Amen. Speaking in tongues is the evidence that you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but it's not the end all. Amen. It shows that, it signifies that, but the whole point is you've been endued with power. Amen. Every one of us that have been baptized in the Holy Ghost have had the power of the living God come and infuse, what's the right word here, hon? And just envelop us, fill us, flood us with the power of God. So now he himself came showing us it's his will to heal. He sent 12 out and said, now you go and preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. He sent 70 more out, told them to go do the same thing. Not only that, but told them also to pray that other laborers would go forth into the harvest field to preach and to heal. And then he's telling them before he goes, now you're going to be endued with power. And then on top of that, in the book of Acts, just as he's getting ready to go up, he says, you shall receive power, verse 8, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And I've got an earmark by that word power that it says it's the proof provider. Amen. We will receive power for that. Amen. That we would be baptized in the Holy Ghost. That was his will then. It's his will now. And then again, one of the ones that we always look at is Mark 16. He who believes, we'll start in verse 15. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So again, this is the will of God. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means harm them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out, and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word through the accompanied signs. Amen. Amen. So he empowers us, he works with us, works through us. And what is this doing? It's showing it's the will of God over and over and over. It didn't pass away when Jesus left the earth. It didn't go away when the 12 died. Amen. When they went on. It's continued on. It's in fact, I think it's in Matthew. It says, even to the ends of the age. Amen. So he's not giving up. This is his will, his plan, his purpose, amen, that we continue on with his ministry, what he said, how he acted, how he responded. He paid the price for it. He's not given up, and he desires that it goes forth. Aren't you glad? Amen. Just give you a couple more. I thought I was just going to touch on one verse tonight and then go on to the next thing. So the next thing will be next week. But here's a couple more verses for you. Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, how is it in heaven? Revelations 21:4 says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away, no death, no crying, no sorrow, no pain." He does not, that is not the will of God, amen, for us to partake of those things. Amen. And when we leave this earth, you know, some of the old patriarchs, they called in their family, they blessed the children, they said their goodbyes, they pulled their feet in, covered themselves up, and left. That's the death of the righteous, amen? Isn't that a grand way to die? Amen. Brother Hagin was sitting at the breakfast table with some good friends and his wife, eating strawberries and cream. Looked at him, smiled at his wife, nodded his head. That was it. Amen. That's the death of the righteous. Not in agony, not suffering, not writhing in pain. Amen. The devil wants us to start getting in fear that how are we going to die and what's it going to be, and people can meditate on that to where they're tormented day and night. And we can't, you know, thoughts start coming. We've got to take those captive. We've got to cast them down, because when we give in to things like that, it can absolutely dominate our thinking. And you cannot be, it's like a tug of war for people that get caught in that fear and anxiety and that. Well, fear and anxiety and faith do not coexist. We're given into one or the other. Amen. So the minute those thoughts, any thought comes to challenge your faith, you've got to take those thoughts captive and just say, no, I refuse to go there. I am not going to die like that. I'm going to live. I will be strong and healthy. And Jesus says, no man takes my life from me. Do you think that could possibly apply to us as well? Something to meditate on, huh? I think some of the things that are in the Word of God are quickly passed over, and we don't see the full value of what has been said. We need to put our confidence and faith and just start looking at some of these scriptures. Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that. I know that. Just like Pastor Gary was saying last week about how sometimes, maybe it was Jeff, he was talking about going into the Word and just kind of, oh, yeah, about the names and the begats and all that. And it was like, oh, yeah. And he says, I got to stop and think right on this thing. And God, show me what I need to see. And he got all the way through and got to the end and saw one word there, and it brought light to him. And I think that's what we need to do with all of the scriptures that we have, all of the word that we've been given on healing. As many times as you've been to healing school, as many times as you've heard familiar scriptures, we need to go in and just say, Lord, show me. Show me what I need to see. Amen. Because his word is life. It's alive. It brings life to us. And when we go with expectation and we're anticipating to hear from God Almighty about our situation and what we're going through, we're going to be enlightened. It's going to bring light. Amen. And he is he willing? That's the whole thing here. This is the very bottom, basic level, foundational understanding before we can go any further in healing, is understanding that, yes, he's willing. Yes, he paid the price for every one of us. That there's not one person he's going to leave out of this picture. It is for you. He paid the price. He was beaten. He was ripped. He was torn. He made the decision before man was ever created, before the foundation of the world. Him and the Father were in covenant together, knowing what was in man's heart. They decided to create us anyways, knowing it would cost his life, knowing that he would have to suffer for our benefit. He took willingly as the lamb to be sacrificed before the foundation of the world. Blows me away. I don't care how many times I hear that scripture. Every time it just, my brain goes tilt, because it's beyond where I'm at, I guess. Because I don't know that I would do that. To see the chaos and the destruction that man brought and willingly go ahead and say, okay, they're worth it. I'm going to pay the price so that I can be in relationship with them. I'm going to pay the price so they can be restored in covenant with me. I'm going to pay the price so they can be whole, spirit, soul, and body. And he willingly did it because he loves us. And he's perpetuating it. It's not ended. It didn't end at the cross. It began at the cross. Amen? It just goes on from here. Do you have anything to add? All right. Well, I cannot go further because if I do, I'm opening a whole new subject. So we're going to end with that right now. But is he willing? That's the foundational stone that we've gone the last couple weeks. Is just understand he is willing. He's willing and he's able. He's well able. Amen. There's nothing. Nothing. In fact, you know, when that man asked about him being able, that was old covenant times. And reality is, it's not even about can he do it? Is he powerful enough to do it? He's already done it. It's complete. It's part of our redemption. It's part of the package. It's there. It belongs to us. So it's not a matter of sometimes we want to reach out and get it. Can we get it? Can we get it from God? Will he give it to me? He already has. And that's what we need to get. All this religious garbage that's going on in our brain sometimes, trying to get from God what he's already given. He's completed it. He's paid the price. He's delivered it unto us. So now it's a matter of us saying, it's mine. I receive it. I am going to keep it, and the devil ain't going to keep it from me. It's mine. I got it. Amen? Amen. So God is good. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Yeah. Amen. All right, does anybody need prayer for anything tonight? Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your goodness. Oh, you are so good and so faithful to us, Lord God. And we thank you that your word clearly shows us that you are more than willing that everyone walk in wholeness and health and strength in our bodies. Thank you for paying the price, Lord God. We receive right now that healing, resurrection, life-giving power that you've already deposited in us the minute we were born again. We thank you for it, and we just expect it to surge through our bodies even now as we're praying, Lord God, going through our veins and through our organs and through our bones, all the way through every muscle and tendon and ligament and joint. Oh, we thank you for it, Lord God, in our eyes, our ears, every part of our body, our brain, our heart, our lungs, every portion, every bit of our stomach, our bowels, every bit whole, because that resurrection life-giving power is going through us right now. And we accept it, and we expect it. We expect change in our bodies, because your power is living and residing in us. That power that was strong enough to raise Jesus up from being dead 3 days, the same power is on the inside of us, restoring us right now. Oh, we thank you for it, Lord God. Thank you, thank you, thank you for wholeness and health spirit, soul, and body. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. 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 God is so good.